Hey guys, welcome to Hallowed Groundling. I'm sorry it's been a few weeks, but I am back on to do a new podcast for you. I'm really excited to do that. Yeah, it's been a couple rough weeks, so I'm happy to get back into the swing of things and to continue with the Halloween series. There's been some really great stuff lately that I kind of wanted to mention before I got into the podcast tonight. So I don't know if you guys have seen on Shudder, the horror noir film, the documentary. It's really fantastic. It's a fantastic film. It's about the African American experience during horror films. And it's a lot about Jordan Peele, a lot about Get Out, but then it has the history of what has happened in horror films over the years with African Americans. And it's a fascinating, fantastic documentary. I really, really loved it a lot. So if you haven't had a chance, you should definitely check it out. So there's been a lot of new things coming out in the last couple of weeks that I kind of wanted to mention. I know I mentioned a little bit on my Twitter, and so it was revealed, of course, in the new Pet Sematary film that Ellie is going to be the one dying, not Gage, in the film, and I don't entirely feel great about that. So I'm still going to see it. It's my favorite Stephen King story and novel, and I love the original film. So, you know, I'm going to see it and give it a chance. I'm excited still about John Lithgow playing Judd. I think it's got a lot of potential, but I want to see why they had decided to make this huge change to the story. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. And, of course, also I'm very excited for Us, the new Jordan Peele movie. I can't wait to see that. That just looks absolutely phenomenal. And terrifying. And I love that he got the inspiration for it from The Twilight Zone. That makes me really happy, from the episode Mirror Image, which is an absolutely terrifying episode of the show. So it's going to be exciting. So there's some good stuff coming up in horror. I've seen some new things that are, you know, pretty decent. There's some good stuff out there. I have a big stack still of films that I have to review and check out that I got from Horror Pack. And, you know, keep plugging along and watching more movies. So, well, tonight I'm going to be continuing with the Halloween series, and tonight we're going to be covering Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, which is the sixth film in the series, H2O, 20 years later, and Halloween Resurrection. So those are the three tonight, and we'll get right into it. So Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, came out in 1995. I'd forgotten to check the gap. I can't remember from my notes, but it was probably about, I think, about 6 years, like 5 or 6 years afterwards, after the fifth film. And it was directed by Joe Chappelle. He didn't want to make this film, apparently. He wasn't a fan of the Halloween films, and the only reason he did it was because he was given a three-picture deal from Miramax. And he did his other two films for Miramax there, which I did not write down. But he did not want to do this in the series. He just did it basically to get in and get a deal, which is never a good start to a production. So it was written by Daniel Farrens, who also wrote, he wrote a lot of documentaries about horror films. He seems to be a real horror fan. He wrote for Crystal Lake Memories, which I love, which is the documentary, of course, about the Friday the 13th series. And, you know, I have my issues with Curse, but, there are some things I really love. So a brief synopsis about the film. So basically, Jamie has, been impregnated. So Jamie's the child from, you know, his niece, Lori's daughter from 4 and 5. And, she's been impregnated and she has a son. And there's this cult that's basically, while she's having the baby, you know, they're there, and a midwife helps her to escape, helps Jamie to get out, and she runs, and Michael, of course, chases her, and, you know, Dr. Loomis is still around, he's living, like, by himself, and he is visited by Dr. Terrence Wynn, who worked for Smith's Grove, where Michael was, and he... You know, he's basically like, they overhear Jamie when she runs away. She calls a radio station, and she's asking for Dr. Loomis to help her, and they overhear this. And then, of course, she hides in the bus station, and you know, and then, of course, Michael catches up with Jamie. He kills her, and the baby's gone. And then Tommy Doyle, as an adult, is basically living in a boarding house. He's been watching for years, like how Michael Myers, like the house itself, to see if Michael Myers, he lives across the street from it, basically. And the family that lives there now is are relatives of the Strode family. So the house could never be sold because, you know, obviously if it's passed. And it's, you know, it's the kind of a basic. And then there's this whole cult that's kind of like trying to, I don't know, get a hold of Michael and, you know, basically it's like, it's called Thorn, which is a Druid curse. And it's, let me see. Sorry, I'm like being so weird about it. It's just, it's kind of a very contrived story. It's a little too much, I think. The whole curse and cult thing was really weird. And yeah, so basically there's this cult and they're, you know, they've been trying to kind of harness Michael's power and figure out what makes him tick and all that stuff. And I think they kind of go that way in almost all the series, all the famous slasher films. You know, they did that in Friday the 13th, and they just, it's like they're always trying to figure out exactly what makes them tick. So it's more scary when we don't know what ticks, and also to use that power for their own personal gain. So that's kind of a basic synopsis. It's not a great synopsis, sorry, of Curse of Michael Myers, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the cast, and I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the history of the film. So Donald Pleasence, as I said, came back as Dr. Loomis. He, you know, he's always wonderful. And this was his last film. This was the last film he did in the series, and he passed away, actually, during the making of the film. So he has a very small part in the film. Paul Rudd plays Tommy Doyle, which is pretty cool. It was his film debut, which is pretty neat. You know, and of course Paul Rudd has done, you know, Clueless, and he's doing the Ant-Man movies. He's done a lot of stuff, and he's fantastic. I love Paul Rudd, and he's really good in the movie. He's a great actor, so, you know, it doesn't take much when you're a good actor. So Marianne Hagen plays Kara Strode, who's the daughter of the people that live in the house now, and she has a son. Dr. Wynn is played by Mitchell Ryan, who's a classic character actor who's been around for a very long time. Kim Darby plays Deborah Strode, who's the mother in the house. And Deborah Strode she was in True Grit with John Wayne, but I know her best, and you might know her best as Lane Meyer's mother in Better Off Dead. She's fantastic in that movie. She's so hilariously weird and funny. I love her so much, and she's really good in this movie. I mean, she's a solid character actress too. George Wilbur played the Shape in this film. He's a stunt man. He's done a lot of stunts, and he did stunts for Escape from New York, which is a little bit of a John Carpenter connection for this film. So, you know, as I'd said, Paul Rudd, this was his film debut, and apparently they did want to get Brian Andrews, who played Tommy in the original film, to play the part. But Tommy didn't have an agent, so Brian Andrews didn't have an agent, so they couldn't contact him. And so, unfortunately, he wasn't able to play the part, which I guess he was very upset about. He was sad about that he couldn't get in because, you know, he didn't have an agent. So this film was kind of disowned by the cast and crew, apparently. There was a lot of arguing on set. The movie does feel very fragmented. The original title for the film actually was 666 Origin of Michael Myers. And apparently it was changed to Curse because of how cursed the production was and how poorly it was going throughout the entire filming. So Daniel Harris, who played Jamie in Halloween 4 and 5, she wanted to come back to play Jamie in this film, but she wanted $5,000, which doesn't seem like any type of exorbitant fee, but apparently Miramax did not want to pay her that. And she went through a whole legal battle, apparently, to like get emancipated from her parents at 17 so that she could work longer hours to possibly get this role. And then they didn't even want to pay her the $5,000 she asked for. And I mean, that doesn't seem like any crazy amount of money to do this film, you know. So, but it didn't work out, and she kind of was out all that money. There is a producer's cut of Curse of Michael Myers, and it's far less gory. I have it because I have the box set, the big Halloween box set on Blu-ray, and it's a very interesting cut of the film. It's a little bit different, and as I said, it's far less gory than the original theatrical cut that was put out. So the two parents in the home are named Deborah and John Strode. So, of course, that is an homage to Deborah Hill and John Carpenter. Kind of fun. Apparently, Peter Jackson was asked to direct this film, and I found that fascinating. I didn't see any reason why he turned it down, but he might have been. This was just before he started into doing Lord of the Rings, and I think at that point he was doing Frighteners, if I'm not mistaken. It was in that kind of general vicinity, so he probably was quite busy doing other things and getting ready to, you know, go into Middle Earth. And he's a huge fan of horror, I know that, so he probably had other reasons why he needed to turn this down. The script isn't exactly fantastic either, so maybe that was part of it too. Also, apparently Howard Stern was offered the role of Barry Sims, the shock jock in the film, and he turned them down as well. So, you know, the thing about Halloween Curse is I actually enjoy it. You know, there are parts of it that are really great. I think it's, you know, there are parts that are wonderful. Paul Rudd's great. I could watch him forever. He's fantastic as Tommy Doyle. I'm tired tonight, you can tell. he's fantastic as Tommy Doyle, though. He does a really great job, and I like him in the film a lot. But, there's a lot of parts about it that aren't so great. And the contrived story about the cults and all that, it just seems a little bit too much and too far-fetched. And I think if they had just stuck to the original base of the story of just having, you know, Michael be Michael and come after, you know, Jamie and come after Jamie's baby and go after Tommy again, you know, that I think that would have been, that would have worked pretty well. So I think they could have left out everything that was in the film. So let's move on. Let's move on to H2O. Now, this is most definitely my favorite in the three that I'm going to be talking about tonight. H2O is Halloween. H2O, 20 years later, and it came out in 1998. So it didn't come out too long after Curse of Michael Myers, actually. It was very, very close after, you know, 3 years after. This film was directed by Steve Miner, who I love very much. Steve Miner directed Friday the 13th 2 and 3. He's a great horror director, and this movie has fantastic pacing. It's really interesting. It's really fun. It definitely rode on the coattails of the Scream franchise. It was definitely, you know, it had the funny teenagers, and it was definitely feeling the roots of, as all horror movies were around that time. They were all kind of feeling the backlash, that's the wrong word, but feeling the effect of the Scream franchise. You know, they wanted funny, quick-witted, quick scares. You know, they wanted it to be just like Scream. You know, of course, that's what they do. Whenever there's like a hit, they say, oh, let's cookie cutter it forever. And I think that Halloween felt that. And it's a good thing, actually, because it actually added something to the franchise. I enjoy this film very much. I actually like H2O a lot. I think it's an interesting movie, and it's a great, you know, little homage to the fans and to the story, and to see, kind of catch up with Laurie and see where she's been, because, you know, once Jamie came into the picture, we didn't see Laurie. I mean, of course, they said Laurie had been dead, and now here's the explanation of where she's been. So let's get a little bit more into it. So the writers were Robert Zappia and Matt Greenberg. And for a basic synopsis of H2O, it's about a Laurie is in the witness protection program, we find out. And she's Carrie Tate is her name. And she has a son, and she's the headmistress at a very private, exclusive boarding school in California. She's been, you know, basically just, she's drinking a lot. She's depressed. She's been hiding for a very long time from Michael. The storyline of him being her brother is still part of this film. So she's, you know, she's been hiding for many years from him, and she's, you know, been afraid for a long time and hiding her son and having an alcohol and a drug problem. And just, you know, and so basically what happens is Michael goes and he ransacks the nurse's house from the original film. So we'll get into the cast a little bit too. And he gets the address of Laurie from the house. It was in Dr. Loomis's paperwork, and gets it out, and she, you know, he tracks her down basically, and of course they have their confrontation. So that's kind of the basic premise of it. They do touch on the story of her son and him and his girlfriend and their friends. And, of course, they're the unsuspecting teenagers that are at the school. So a little bit about the cast of the film. Jamie Lee, of course, comes back as Laurie Strode slash Carrie Tate. She's wonderful in the movie. Her son is played by Josh Hartnett. The character's name is John. Josh Hartnett's great. He was in The Faculty, which is a fantastic horror film. I will be covering that at some point during the podcast because I love that movie. That's just a wonderful, funny, scary, definitely another Scream-inspired horror film, but also so different and weird and wonderful, like very, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers and Mimic. It's got all these, like, it definitely was inspired by all these other films. And it's a great movie. I really like that movie. I've seen it a few times, and I haven't watched it in quite a few years. And I really enjoy it every time I've seen it because it's a great film. And he's one of the leads in it, and he's wonderful. And so is Elijah Wood, and it's a good movie. So Adam Arkin plays Will Brennan, who is he's a great character actor. He's been around a long time. He's actually plays like the love interest of Laurie Strode. He's a guidance counselor at the school, so he's kind of her love interest during the film. Josh Hartnett's character, John, his girlfriend is Molly, and Molly is played by the wonderful Michelle Williams. I don't know if this was Michelle's debut. I didn't look that up in my research, but this was definitely a very early film of Michelle. Michelle is just, in my opinion, a wonderful actress. She's a solid, solid character actress. I think that I've always enjoyed her in everything I've ever seen her in. Of course, she's phenomenal in My Week with Marilyn. She played Marilyn Monroe and got an Oscar nomination. She was so wonderful in Brokeback Mountain. She played Heath Ledger's wife in the film. And I've never felt more heartbreak for a character that I can recall in any moment when she walked around the corner and saw the two of them kissing and then had to pretend like she didn't see anything in the film. And her, the way she played it was so beautiful. Just a solid character actress. And I was very lucky a few years ago now, it's been about 5 years, I think, that we went to see Cabaret in New York because Alan Cumming came back as the MC. And Michelle Williams was Sally Bowles. And she was wonderful. She's not the best singer in the world, but she most definitely acted it well. And she was wonderful in the play. So I was really honored to be able to see her on stage to play a role too. So she's a solid character actress, and she's great in this. She's cute and bubbly and adorable and a perfect little ingenue type character to chase around the lead male character, you know. So she's really good in it. This is just full of great character actors, actually. Adam Hanbird plays their friend Charlie, and Jodie Lynn O'Keefe plays Sarah, who are like this boyfriend and girlfriend couple. And she's a riot. She makes me laugh like throughout the movie because she's just full of these quips and one-liners. They wrote her very well. They're both written very well. Of course, they meet a demise in the film, unfortunately. We know that. And hers is so horribly gory when her leg gets caught in the dumbwaiter. The minute I saw a dumbwaiter, I said, oh, that's going to be involved, because dumbwaiters are always, if you see a dumbwaiter in a horror movie at the beginning, you're like, that's going to be somewhere in the film. But she, you know, she's great in the movie, too. And of course, the wonderful cameo of Janet Leigh, who plays Norma, and she's basically Laurie's secretary in the film. And Janet Leigh, of course, is Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. And there's a wonderful little moment where she's leaving and she says, Happy Halloween. And she's standing right by the car from Psycho with the same license plate on it with the music from Psycho playing in the background. Just this wonderful little moment, you know, and it was really cool to see the two of them together on screen for even the briefest time. She's not in it very long, but it's a wonderful little cameo in the film. I remember seeing this movie in the theater, and the minute that she walked on screen, everybody went, "Oh," because it was just such a nice little moment to see Janet Leigh, you know, in the film with her. And then, of course, we have to mention some wonderful other mentions in the film for the cast. LL Cool J as Ronnie, the security guard. He's so funny in the film. He's wonderful. I love LL Cool J. I loved him in Deep Blue Sea, so I was really excited to see him come into this movie, too. And he's great as the security guard. He's funny, talking to his wife on the phone the entire time, and she's hilarious. And it's a good little comedy moment, and he's really great in it, too. And then, of course, at the very beginning of the film, I mentioned earlier that Marion, played by Nancy Stevens, Marion was the original nurse in the first Halloween who is driving the car with Dr. Loomis. She's smoking a cigarette with the rabbit and red matchbook, and she comes back, and she was basically taking care of Dr. Loomis, and she also appears in part two, of course, too. She gets in with the marshal at the hospital and everything. So she has a cameo. She's, you know, has all of Dr. Loomis's papers at her house. And of course, Michael Myers has broken into her home, unbeknownst to her, but somebody broke into her home. And there are two boys next door who she asks for help. And of course, the two boys, one is played by Brandon Williams. His name is Tony. And then, of course, Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Jimmy. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's a nice little cameo for him. I think this was during the third Rock from the Sun time, I believe. So he was already out there, and he's great in the film. And I love that the two of them are watching Plan 9 from Outer Space. That always makes me laugh, that the minute that she discovers them dead, one of them has the skate in his face, you know, and you hear "your stupid mind" from Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is a movie I absolutely adore. So I love that moment. Every time in the movie I'm cracking up going, "Ah, look, it's Plan 9 in the background." But it's nice to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he's cute in it too. I love when he destroys her kitchen, and you know, and he comes, I was like, "I don't know, but they destroyed your kitchen," you know, and steals beers out of her fridge. I think that's pretty funny. So Chris Durand played the Shape in this film, and I have to say, Michael's very imposing in this film. He's very large. He's very scary in this movie. He's very quick too. I can talk about like some moments in the film that I really love. Obviously, like that first moment that Michael and Laurie see each other is so classic, when he chases John and Molly through the campus of the school after Redfree's murdered the other two. He's murdered Charlie and Sarah. Charlie and Sarah, yes. sorry. When he's murdered them and he's chasing them through the campus, and then that scary scene where they get behind that kind of iron gate and she's trying to get her keys and then they can't get her, she can't reach her keys, and then he finds them and he's trying to open the gate, and it's just such a very suspenseful moment, and they're banging on the door and screaming, and Jamie Lee makes it just in time and opens the door and gets them in, and then the door shuts and it's that round window and they just look at each other for just a second. It's a lovely moment. It really is. I think it's a great moment for them to see each other again, and they kind of look at each other and have that special moment. So that was, I like that scene a lot in the film. So, the thing that Jamie Lee Curtis said when she was asked about this film was that she did this for the fans. She did this as a thank you to the fans for all their years of loving the Halloween franchise, loving the movie so much. She just did it for them. And apparently, John Carpenter was asked to direct this film, and people said that he had turned it down, but apparently what the true story was, he didn't turn them down. He asked for $10 million to do this film, and the reason he asked for $10 million was because he hadn't received much in financial compensation for the windfall that Halloween had seen over the years, and he thought it was very fair to ask for a certain amount of money to get some of that back. I mean, he was a co-writer, he was the original director, he's the composer. I mean, it seemed pretty fair, but apparently Mustafa Akkad balked at the price and said, "No, I will not pay you that." So unfortunately, you know, John, of course, turned it down. So it would have been a completely different film, I think, if John Carpenter had directed it. I think Steve Miner did a fantastic job. I think he's a great horror director. I really like him a lot. So I think that's why I like this movie so much. And, you know, it's just fun. It's just because it really is a love letter film. It's one of those films that, like, I was so excited. I remember when it was coming out because, you know, I loved the first movie so much, and I wanted to see Jamie Lee again. I was so excited to see Jamie Lee again and see them together, you know, battling one another. And I like that. So, another funny little thing that I thought was great is there's a great moment where, Ronnie, LL Cool J's character yells at John and says to Josh Hartnett's character and says, comb your hair. And apparently that was ad-libbed because he was always telling him to do that because he had, Josh Hartnett has that notoriously very messy, you know, screen heartthrob hair. And, he was telling him to fix it. So I thought that was kind of cute. And apparently PJ Souls was asked to come in as the secretary character before they had Janet Leigh come in as the character. They asked PJ Souls to do it, and she had said she wasn't sure if she wanted to do it because she said, you know, like, I don't know if I want to come back in as that character, as another character in the series, you know, even though I've already been in this, and I, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. So she actually just kind of dragged her feet, and by the time she hadn't even made a decision, they said, well, let's ask Janet Leigh. And she said, yes. So they just went over to that one. So it's probably for the best because it was a very sweet moment in the film. So I mentioned how this movie definitely owes a debt of gratitude to the Scream series. And of course the girls are watching Scream 2 in their room. And apparently it was another film before, and I don't remember off the top of my head what the film was, but in post, I guess they put in Scream 2 because they definitely wanted to show that connection to the Scream series. So, and, you know, I think that Halloween H2O is a great movie. I enjoy it every single time I watch it. I love the end of the film. As a matter of fact, I have a great story from that. I went to see the movie in the theater, as I said, and I took my friend Dave with me. And Dave notoriously does not like horror films, but he did go see it with me, and he was covering his eyes a lot of time during the movie. But and it was a packed house. It was the Friday night it opened, and one of the funniest moments in the film was at the very end when Laurie has stolen the van with Michael in the back, and they get in the car accident, and the van flips over, and Michael goes flying out, and he's like wedged between the tree and the van, and he looks at her, and he reaches toward her like he's like trying to be affectionate, and the entire film people were being loud and obnoxious during the movie because it's a horror film, and these two girls behind us, when he reached out like all lovingly, these two girls, one yelled out, "Bitch, he's reaching for the knife," and it always made us laugh. Like, for years we still say that, like, we'll say, "Bitch, he's reaching for the knife," because, you know, it was like Laurie has this moment before she cuts his head off with the axe that she looks at him like, oh, maybe he is my brother, you know, but yeah. But I do love this movie, so I was excited to talk about this one. This is definitely a favorite of mine in the series. It's fun, and it's, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously, which is great. So on to Halloween Resurrection, the last of our films for this podcast. Unfortunately, Halloween Resurrection came out in 2002. It had a lot of potential because, you know, it was directed by Rick Rosenthal. Rick Rosenthal, of course, directed Halloween 2 in the series. It was written by Larry Brand and Sean Hood. So kind of a brief synopsis of the film. It's basically Laurie is in an asylum because they explain why Michael can come back, because apparently Michael had replaced, he had gotten away at the end of H2O and had put his mask on a paramedic in the back of the van. And of course, that's who Laurie beheads. It wasn't Michael. It was a paramedic who had a family, and she went into this like massive depression, and now she's in a sanitarium afterwards. And she's supposed to be catatonic. She hasn't talked. And so basically she's been, you know, heavily medicated this whole time. And Michael, of course, gets away, gets to Laurie, and Laurie's been waiting for him, basically. So it kind of leads into where she goes with the final film, too, but it's really not at the same time. Because, of course, they abandon the whole brother situation. And, of course, Michael kills Laurie. He stabs her and throws her off the roof of the building, and then Michael goes back to his childhood home. And what's happening there is this show, basically like an internet reality show. It's called Dangertainment. They've set up shop in the Michael Myers house to have kids go in. And, you know, it's very reminiscent of a show that was called Fear, that was on MTV, that I actually really liked a lot. I liked that show a lot. And it was basically, they would send, you know, young adults and teenagers into haunted places, and they'd give them dares, and they had money at stake, and then they'd do it or they wouldn't, and then they'd leave the competition, and you know, and the last person standing or the last people standing won the prizes and won the money and stuff like that. But it was pretty creepy. They went to some really scary places, and as the show went on, they went, like, they would make them do the most, like, if they were at a place with a morgue, they'd have to lay on a slab for like 10 minutes, you know, lay there with no radio contact. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do that in the pitch dark. I'm like, I'm good with that. But you know, it was a lot of very, so it was very, I think very much inspired by that series. The same kind of deal, like a dare, like all these dares, like they didn't have dares in the film, but like going into a haunted place and doing research. I put air quotes on that one. I hate air quotes, but I'm going to do it for that one. And so that was kind of what they did in this film, you know, that they were kind of playing on that whole reality show in a horrific place or a haunted place kind of deal. And of course, you know, these kids go in there and Michael Myers comes, you know, kills all of them and one by one. And there's people watching online who are seeing some of the stuff going on. And, you know, it's like, it's just kind of touches back onto the whole, you know, the whole story all over again. So yeah, that's kind of it. So that, you know, that's a basic synopsis of the story. And Jamie Lee Curtis, of course, reprises her role as Laurie Strode for, we think, is the last time. But, of course, it's not, because she comes back in the new Halloween film. Busta Rhymes plays Freddie Harris, who's the head of Dangertainment. Also, Tyra Banks is Nora, his kind of assistant in the film. You know, Busta Rhymes is fine. He's great. And I think he owes a debt of gratitude to LL Cool J, because I think they said, oh, let's bring another rapper, another famous rapper into the film series. And, you know, I think because LL Cool J was so funny and well received in H2O, I think that they asked Busta Rhymes, and he's okay. I mean, he's good enough, you know, in the film, and the film's not great. So, you know, he's not going to like shine or anything like that, because the writing's not fantastic, but you know, he's a decent actor. He did okay. You know, I think he did all right during the film. So Brad Lorke plays Michael Myers, Lorsey. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly. He plays Michael Myers in the film. Bianca Kijilich plays Sarah, and Sean Patrick Thomas plays Rudy. Sean Patrick Thomas is a good character actor. He's been around for a long time. He was in Save the Last Dance, if you remember that kind of love story teen dance movie. He was in that. Daisy McCracken plays Donna, and Thomas Ian Nicholas plays Bill. He's best known as Kevin from the American Pie series. So those are kind of the teens that are in the house. I think there's others as well that I'm forgetting at the moment. Oh yeah, actually there are two others that I'm forgetting. Brent Chapman and Kyle Labine are in the film. And actually, a neat little fact about them: they were actually in Freddy versus Jason. So that's kind of cool. And I guess when they were in Freddy, you know, so now they're the only two actors that were ever in in all three franchises of the film, if you consider Freddy versus Jason for both of them. Which is pretty cool, actually, when you think about it. they were in Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th. So that's kind of cool, I guess, you know. Brent Chapman, I can't remember, played, he played Blake's father in Freddy versus Jason. And let me just check on the other one, Kyle Labine. Sorry, I didn't do my research better for this one. It's not my favorite in the series, if you can tell. he's Bill Freeberg. Okay, so he's Freeberg, the basically the J of Jay and Silent Bob knockoff in Freddy versus Jason. So yeah, so that's Kyle Labine who plays Freeberg. Freeberg's a funny character, though. I mean, but it's definitely a total ripoff of Jay from, and I love that they make a play on it during the Never Sleep Again documentary, and during Crystal Lake Memories, they make fun of the fact that that character is so much a ripoff of Jay, complete and total ripoff. So yeah, so he's in the series as well. So that's pretty neat. So, I mean, this film, I have to say, I guess Jamie Lee Curtis was under a contract. She did this film just to basically make sure Laurie Strode was killed off from this series. And she didn't want to do it, but she did it under contract. She agreed to do it, and she thinks this film's a joke. And, you know, in a lot of it is a joke. I've watched it. It's not very palatable. It's not a great movie. It's not well written. It's not scary, honestly. It's just there for fodder. I feel like it was like, oh, we made money with H2O. H2O was well received. Let's make another movie. They made this one, and it just was kind of shoved out there, and it wasn't too well, very well thought out or presented. And, you know, it has such you know, potential because of Rick Rosenthal being involved as the, you know, when he directed Halloween 2. So, but I don't have a lot of great things to say about it, and I hate harping on negative stuff, so I'm going to kind of leave it at that. It's part of the series. It is here. You know, yeah, it's okay, though. So the next part of the podcast, we'll be doing the Rob Zombie Halloweens. So that's exciting. I do love the Rob Zombie Halloweens, and I'll have fun going back and watching them and talking about them with you guys on the next podcast. I'm hoping, actually, that I can put it out by the end of the week. I missed a week with this one, so I'm hoping that I'll be able to finish it up and maybe put it out to you guys by this Friday. That would be nice to do. And then, of course, after that, we are going to do the new Halloween film, the brand new 2018 Halloween film, and I'll do a complete podcast on that one because I really love that movie, and I want to talk to you guys about it. So there you go. So we'll be having some more fun podcast coming up after this, and I have another little contest that I'm going to be doing for you guys for another free movie out there, so that'll be fun. And that's about it. So I hope you guys have a great night. Stay warm if you're in the East Coast, because it's very cold and it's extremely windy today, very Wizard of Oz outside today. You feel like you're going to get blown away. So, but have a great night, guys. Stay spooky. Bye.